Hello out there in the podcast universe. This is Tina, aka Tiz, and I'm here with my homegirl Lori, aka Ain't I, and we're presenting to you our new podcast, The Cobblestone Exchange. You can find more information about our podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Cobblestone Exchange. And you can find it just the way it's spelled. That's at COBBLESTONEEXCHANGE. Yeah, sorry, I know it's a long one, but I'll work on getting that shortened for y'all.
It is our hope to shed light on the relatability of each person's innate genius. Through understanding, we envision improving the human condition. Now, we launch this month of May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. We're here for you. We want to start to bridge the gaps with people who feel alienated due to mental health struggles. This is a safe space, and we want to share and become a part of your life and for you to be part of ours. Our disclaimer: we are not professional doctors, licensed therapists, or psychologists of any sort.
We don't know nothing.
We are simply sharing our opinions based off of personal experiences.
We crazy, y'all.
In case of mental health emergency, please contact 911 or the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
Welcome back to the Cobblestone Exchange, episode 2. And first off, we'd like to thank all our listeners for all of your support and encouragement. And yes, we like just love the love. And thank you for tuning in.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Yes, we see people from Philly, Ohio, Maryland,
whoop whoop,
North Carolina,
North Cackalack,
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Tuning in from all over. We see y'all.
A lot of folk in Ohio. Somebody in Ohio, please leave us a message and let us know where y'all at. Thank you for representing.
Yes, we appreciate the love. All right, and this episode,
we're going to be talking today, guys, about ADD and ADHD. Understanding and exploring the myths versus the experiences. So this is what we like to call our Myth Expo episode.
The Myth Expo, where we expose myths.
We'll be starting a series where we'll be discussing the myths of common mental health disorders, and we're going to compare them with everyday experiences. Now, mind you, we are not experts on the subject matter. Our goal is to share our experiences, and open the doors of communication, all right? So by no means do I hold a degree. I will be conducting an interview, but this is information only, so we all are learning at the same time. So this is a part of a series. We'll discuss the series in parts. The first one will be ADD, and we have our co-host Tina here that can help us dispel some common myths by sharing her experiences living with ADHD. So let's go ahead and get this started, y'all, without further ado. Okay, listeners, so let's get seated and get started. First off, Tina, could you please share with us what ADHD is and what is the difference between ADHD and just ADD?
Sure. ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactive Disorder, and ADD is Attention Deficit Disorder without the hyperactive component to it. So basically, ADHD is a mental health disorder, and it includes a variety of problems that are persistent, like focus, paying attention, organization, things that you call executive functions. And a lot of people say that, you know, I have times when I can't focus or I lose things or this and that. But with ADHD, this is when it's persistent on a regular, everyday basis. It's not a once in a while thing. Now, what I have is ADD, which is just an attention deficit disorder. I don't have the hyperactive component to it. I just have, you know, a hard time focusing and paying attention. With that, they updated the term now. They no longer say ADD. They just have a broad umbrella of ADHD. So for me, it would be ADHD, inattentive type. But that's too long to say, so I just go with ADD, and I feel like people understand that easier.
Okay. Thank you very much for summing that up. It's really, really confusing when you have two terms going on and, you know, you kind of don't know what to use. And also it's confusing when you have terms that could describe, like, normal behaviors, like you said, losing your keys. So the key word I got from that was it has to be persistent symptoms.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, now guys, now that we know what it is technically, let's talk about some facts versus the myths out there. This is real, y'all. 4 to 5% of U.S. adults have ADD/ADHD. That's over 8 million people. Less than 20% of adults are ever diagnosed and treated. And 1 of 20 people in America have ADHD/ADD. So that's just a couple different ways to kind of see how many of us are living with it. Now, I also want to talk about the myths. And Tina, this is going to be really, really good because myths can really, really, really create stigmas. And that's what we're here to do with this show. So I'm going to start off with myth one. ADHD isn't a real condition.
Yes. Now, this is the myth that kind of bothers me a little bit, because when I hear people say that, it's usually someone who hasn't even researched the topic thoroughly. They read one article and came to that conclusion. And most people just say that it's a made-up diagnosis for the government to make money off of. But ADHD is, in fact, a real condition. MRI studies have made it clear that there are metabolic and brain differences for people with ADHD. And there's a quote by Dr. Hollowell. He says, "Those believe that ADHD doesn't exist likely thinks the earth is still flat."
Ooh, that's cold, y'all. That's cold on multiple levels. All right.
Yeah, so another thing about it is, it's like, how can you say something is real if you never experienced it? Like, the symptoms I go through, like, I experience a number of different symptoms. That's how I know it's a real thing. So if you've never experienced it for yourself, it's no way you can say something is real or not.
So, well said. So for everybody out there who thinks it's just made up, it's not, y'all. Metabolic and brain differences, okay? All right, let's go to number two. Ready for that? Mm-hmm. All right. This is what people say, y'all. The inability to sit still and focus are the only symptoms needed to diagnose ADHD. Is that true, T?
No. Those are, like, the main symptoms that most people have across the board. So those are the only symptoms that people really know about. But there are many different symptoms. Like, for example, like, I go through the trouble focusing. There's also trouble organizing. Actually, what ADD is a deficient in your executive functions. And those functions have to do with being able to organize, being able to, pay attention, to being able to, like, organize your thoughts. And it's like a number of different things with that. So with that, like, it's just hard to even, like, just clean up. And then a lot of people assume that's because you're lazy, but no, it's hard. Another thing that's hard is to get started on a task.
Okay.
like you get kind of overwhelmed just thinking about where to get started.
I can relate to that.
Yes. And then like once you get started, like is you get distracted onto something else. Mm-hmm. And you have to get started again. So if it's something that you're not interested in, it's hard to stay focused on. So,
because I know when a lot of people kind of make like their initial evaluations, like their first impression, people will be quick to say, oh yeah, that person was running around the whole time, they must be ADD. That is a myth. To sum up what Tina says, there are many symptoms that are looked at. So somebody that seems like they're full of energy, that's not the only basis that would be used to determine that. So we're being a little bit, I hate to say ignorant, but we're being a little ignorant when we assume that just because somebody is a ball of energy that they are ADD.
Yeah, because there's things like just trouble multitasking, core planning, mood swings, and trouble completing tasks, hot tempers, trouble coping with stress. And the issue with it is like the stress dealing with ADD also causes other symptoms to occur, like anxiety, which causes another diagnosis. It's anxiety, and most people with ADD have depression because they have such a hard time trying to complete things. It makes you feel inadequate after a while. So that leads into like clinical depression, and with all of that, it leads to other things like IBS, which I go through as well, because all the stress that you go through with the anxiety part of it, it develops IBS. You start developing physical symptoms of what you're going through. So it's like a snowball of different things going on at once that you have to constantly deal with. Like, I feel like if, like, I'm having trouble with my ADD, then, like, if I'm not having trouble with my ADD, then I'm having trouble with my body, and vice versa. It's one or the other. It's always something I'm, like, not...
So it's like it's still manifesting one way or another?
Yes.
Like, if you're able to suppress what people would see outwardly, like, for instance, say you are able to sit still, have a really great week, come into work on Monday, you know, focused, ready to go, got your task list, you're knocking things off, check, check. You're saying, like, by Wednesday, like, your stomach can be, you know, in knots from the accumulation of the symptom just still doing its thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I never feel completely, like, good.
Right. Is there one way or another? And the education of this all, of all of this, like, in 2019 is so important because, you know, to be a compassionate person and, you know, for us to be making these changes that we want to make, we really have to consider the whole of people. And for somebody having, you know, say an issue organizing stuff, that's not a reason to really come down on them. You know, we really got to understand the whole of it. Thank you for sharing with that with me and with everybody. And this is deep too, because I feel like when we talk about number two, which we just spoke on, it leads into number three really well, which is only children have ADD, ADHD diagnosis, and they can grow out of it. So that's like a loaded question, or a loaded myth, because we're saying, one, if a child does have ADD, they can grow out of it as an adult. And then we're also saying that there's a myth that only children can have ADD. So, Tina, can you talk about your experience with, like, having it as a child and never growing out of it, or knowing that, you know, as an adult you still have it? Can you, like, talk to us more about that? You already talked to us more about that part. Let's talk about more you can grow out of it part.
Well, the growing out of it, that can happen, but that doesn't happen for most. Most people just learn different coping strategies unknowingly. And that's what happened in my case, because I wasn't diagnosed with it until adulthood, until after I finished college. And a doctor I was at my regular doctor for a physical exam, and she just happened to ask me, she was like, "Has anybody ever told you you have ADD?" And I said, "No, why?" And she was like, "You have like all the symptoms of it." And so she put in a request to get me tested for it. And they said, yeah, she definitely has it.
Oh, can I ask, was that a primary doctor?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that dispels the first part of the myth, only children can have it. You are walking into the doctor, making your own appointment as an adult, and she's telling you that you have it now at that time.
Yes. So when I had my first appointment, so I had to have an appointment with a psychiatrist as well as a therapist. And when I had my first appointment with my therapist, she was so shocked that I went through my whole life and went through college and finished college with a bachelor's degree dealing with ADD. And she said, after talking to me, she realized I developed all my own coping strategies to get through it. And that's how I made it through. And when I thought back on my childhood, everything made sense because I could never get my focus on doing my homework. My mom had the hardest time every single night with me to get me to do homework. It wasn't that I didn't know the work or I wasn't smart enough to do it. It was just hard to just get me to focus on it. And so that made sense. And I had the hardest time getting up every morning. I was always late. It's like, we can only focus on things that we're interested in, and it's not on purpose. Like, it's definitely not on purpose, because it really like makes us feel like crap that we can't like get ourselves to focus in on what we know we should be focused on. Like,
and therein lies the snowball effect you were talking about.
Yes.
Getting down on yourself, feeling anxious to even be put in a position to be expected to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure add a lot of pressure to that situation. Wow.
It's definitely. And then another thing about that is like, so on Facebook, I joined a ADHD group for adults. And it's a group of so many people that can relate. And a lot of the stories that I see come up are adults that said they just got diagnosed like in their 30s or in their 20s or so, and they can't believe it. And they said they were in tears because it explained so much, because they went through all these their whole life thinking that something like they're just inadequate, and because they can't just do stuff the way they want to do it.
Had to take a sip. That's tragic.
And like, they finally found out the reason behind this, like, and it's something that they can, you know, work on.
Yeah.
So I see so many stories like that in that group.
I'm so happy that there's a group out there like that to help y'all remove the stigma from each other, you know what I mean? And come to those realizations, because that must be hard. Okay. You have anything else to say about that topic? That was pretty heavy.
Not at this time.
All right. Man. So you've learned how to cope. And to me, you probably did better in college than the average person who just had to deal with regular conflicts, because those coping mechanisms, you knew you had to rely on those.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Luquette, if Dr. Wade Luquette is listening. He was like my uncle. I called him Uncle Luquette because he kept me on track in college. I probably wouldn't have graduated if it wasn't for him. But because my professors would go to him, he was also my advisor as well as one of my professors, and let him know that I haven't turned work in. And one day he came to me with all my papers, and they all had B's on them. And he said, all of these papers were all supposed to be A's, but I only gave you B's because you turned them in late. And I had the same issue in high school. Like, a teacher said, you know the work, you just... Like, I heard all the time, you know the work, you just don't apply yourself. And another one of my college professors, Dr. Bartoli, she wouldn't accept my papers because she knew that I knew better than what I was turning in, that I was rushing it. And so that's the thing about it. It's like, you know what to do. It's just getting yourself to do it.
Yeah.
It's the lack of, it's hard to motivate yourself.
the more and more you say these things, the more and more I feel like I had the same types of issues. You say underachiever over here. I managed to get myself through undergraduate too, but yeah, man, I still don't know how. All right. Oh man, well yes, definitely shout out to your mentor and all those people that help people make that push through. Man,
yeah. Hey, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to part one of our Myth Expo Po on ADHD. Now, there is some information and symptoms I may have forgot due to my short-term memory loss, which is one of my main symptoms, by the way. You can find more information on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Cobblestone Exchange. But for now, I'll leave you with this. While it may look like I'm on top of things, there's times when I'm on autopilot or I'm hanging on a limb because it feels like I'm juggling with one hand trying to hold things together. But I don't speak on it because I don't want people to think that there's something wrong with me. But I realized staying silent is adding to the stigma. Knowing there's people out there that need this information, people that need to know there's others that can relate, has outweighed any fear I have of being vulnerable. We'll continue this exchange in part 2.